Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to News and Current Affairs Channel of Radio Pakistan, Islamabad. And the program is Perspective. Today is Tuesday, 12th of December 2017. Time right now is 6:13, and I'm your host, Zahra Sikandar, with my co-host and co-analyst in the program.
I'm Muhammad Shiraz.
Once again, listeners, we are faced with a situation which is really depressing and heartening because Pakistan recounts the sacrifices in war against terrorism. And two more army officials martyred in North Waziristan attack, and President, Prime Minister and Army Chief have strongly denounced the attack. Operation Red Al-Fasad has achieved positive results, but still we are fighting this war, which is seeing no end, being a phenomenon which is being happening all around the world, all around the corner. So many nations are busy in wiping out this menace from their territory, but when it comes to Pakistan, it seems like Pakistan has given innumerable sacrifices, and so many precious and valuable lives have been sacrificed for the cause of wiping out terrorism. And Pakistan is the country which can very easily boast of lot many operations which are taking inside our territory, starting from Operation Rahe Nijat, and then Operation Zarb-e Azm.
Rahe Ras,
yes.
Yeah.
And then we have Khyber Operation, Khyber 4 Operation. And there were so many numerous operations. There was calming operation in Karachi and different parts of Pakistan. Operation Red Al-Fasad and Zarb-e Azm seems to be, and it is said to be, the most massive of all those operations, which has literally broken the bone of these terrorists. But still, we are hoping for more positive results. So we would be shedding some light on the achievements of Operation Red Al-Fasad and as to why our security personnel are being targeted. And since we are planning to fence our border with Afghanistan, we are still seeing the sanctuaries, if not sanctuaries, but we are still seeing some kind of infiltration across our borders from Afghanistan. And we are seeing that today in North Waziristan Agency, the place which was cleared of all the terrorism and terrorists, is once again have been highlighted with such a sad incident. Border Management Pakistan starts sensing Afghan border to curb infiltration, the same thing which we have just highlighted. And the world acknowledges Pakistan's sacrifices in war on terrorism. On the other side, CPAC is a game changer for Pakistan, a fate changer for region. This is stated by Interior Minister Projects CPAC as significant shift in energy, economic and infrastructure development. And on the sports side, Ashes series, England-Australia third test from Thursday. We will be talking all about it, but after a small break in Perspective.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gawadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, voice of the nation. Keep listening to the English show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Now you can download Radio Pakistan's app, Radio Pakistan Official, from Google Play on your Android cell phone to listen to live news, analysis and your favorite programs and music. Download now and keep listening Radio Pakistan, the voice of the nation.
Welcome back, listeners. You are tuned into News and Current Affairs on Love Radio Pakistan Islamabad. We are in Perspective. I'm your host, Zahra Sikandar, with my co-host and co-analyst, Mohammad Shiraz. And we have talked about the saddest incident in line of war against terrorism, that two more army officials were martyred in North Uzbekistan attack today. And two officials who were martyred in this terrorist attack, which was disclosed by the Interest Services Public Relations Wing of Pakistan Army. This was stated on Monday. The ISPR said that 2nd Lieutenant Abdul Muid and Sepoy Bisharat were martyred after terrorists fired on their vehicle from the surrounding mountains. And Sepoy Bisharat, who was 21, was from Danyor village of Gilgit, Baltistan, while Muid, also 21, hailed from Burewala, Vihari. Now, It's the first picture that we see. You know, our forces have people from all nooks and corners of the country, and such a diversity in our forces. We are seeing that from every nook and corner, people take pride in serving the nation for the defense of this motherland. And we have seen so many numerous sacrifices, so many young martyrs, which brighten up the history of Pakistan's war and saving the defense initiatives of the Pakistani forces and Pakistani government. At the same time, when we are pressed with this situation where we have to fence our borders, which is a high time that we should be doing it, and finally, it's a very welcoming sign that we are working on this thing. But Shirasib, when we see that North Uzbekistan agency was cleared and two massive operations like Operation Rahi Ras and Operation Rahi Nijat were carried out over there, and still we see all those caves and underground tunnels which were, digged by all these culprits or terrorists, and we have seen so much kind of a sponsored terrorism from the our neighboring countries like India as well. How do you see this incident occurring once again in there?
Well, I would say that war on terror is an ongoing phenomenon, and obviously gaining goals is one thing and maintaining them will be another thing, and these isolated incidents of terrorism will obviously occur and take place because of the fact that the longest border which we share with the country, Afghanistan, it's over there, there's no strong central government, and the kind of safe havens are there, and the government is unable to do anything about them, the Afghan government. On the other end, we have a porous border.
Yeah.
So we can clearly see it is not just Pakistan's responsibility. It is going to be something which will take more than a single country effort. It will go beyond one nation, and it needs to be a regional effort supported by the international community. But as far as Pakistan is concerned, Pakistan has definitely made some ground as far as the physical side of the war is concerned, the military side of it is concerned. Pakistan has gained a lot of success, and I think those successes are not only something which Pakistan claims, they are acknowledged and appreciated by the international community.
True.
As well.
True.
So the important aspect that needs to be emphasized is obviously the second leg of the of this war on terror, that is more to do with the intangible factors, and in other words, we can say the war of narratives. I think more emphasis now should be paid on it in order to comprehensively conclude this war. Otherwise, it is practically impossible for any security apparatus to, get hold or completely eliminate this menace.
Right. Shiraz, we are joined by Brigadier Retired Tipu Sultan. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much.
Sir, we are once again seeing a very saddest incident which has taken place yesterday in North Uzbekistan Agency. Two army personnel were martyred. And if you remember, we have led one of the longest operations in North Uzbekistan Agency. And when we are about to clear that area and we are about to, start fencing the Afghan border, once again, occurring of such an incident in that place, how do you evaluate this incident, and how do you see where are we lacking, or what more could have been done?
Yes, it did. First of all, let me commend the Pakistan Armed Forces for their effort and sacrifices and all the people who laid down their lives for our dear country. Salute to them, hats off to them, and we are fully in agreement that it is Pakistan Army which is keeping the things together in this country and which has fought a very successful battle against the terrorists. And my heart goes out to the families whose sons and kids and can give them the life of this country. Right. Having said that, I think this is a type of war that, you know, the enemy remains elusive. It is ambivalent, ambiguous, and hazy. Not a battle of frontiers. People, when conventional army moves in, people get melted away in jungles, other countries, concrete jungles and cities, etc. And they keep re-emerging. And if there is a power supporting them from across the border, which it is, because India has acknowledged itself that they are funding terrorism in Pakistan. So it will keep happening for some time.
Right.
But its frequency is reduced, first of all, North Waziristan, South Waziristan, and so many other places around Fatah. Pakistan Army was not present, the rest of the government was not there. And the terrorists were actually ruling that these places, and they had kicked out the tribes out of their native land and all.
Right.
I think. What, yes, please.
Yes, please continue.
Yeah, I think it is extremely important that we get hold of the terror line and control it and fence it and stop that cross border movement of logistics and terrorists across. Unfortunately, the environments are such that in Afghanistan, the American presence is there, and they have an open-ended policy, and they don't control more than 50% of the Afghan territory, and they keep on blaming Pakistan for that. This is the only army in the world which has fought terrorism successfully. All of the countries got destabilized, destroyed, like Iraq, Syria, Libya, and Afghanistan too. What I think is that it's important to go to the root cause from where these people are getting funding, training, etc., and where they're hiding places. And I think India is the chief country responsible for sending terrorism in Pakistan because they don't want us to stabilize. They don't want us to collaborate with China in connectivity around 770 countries of the world. The One Belt, One Road concept that is coming in. And they know for a fact that once that CPEC is up and running, Pakistan will be out of the clutches of IMF and World Bank to a great extent.
True.
And this is a weakness that we have in our economy, that we are dependent so much on loans from the World Bank and consortiums,
right,
etc.
Good evening, sir. I'm Mohammed Shiraz. I would like to ask you about the international aspect of this war on terror, especially when it comes to Pakistan. Pakistan has done a lot. Pakistan has gained a lot of, you can say, successes, and it has been acknowledged and recognized by other international community as well. But important aspect of it is the regional factor. And the regional factor, when we come to the regional factor, the role of China and Russia becomes very important. And in the similar way, how these regional powers can influence, or you can say, make India not being part of the problem, to make sure that India becomes part of the solution, because of the fact in a terror incident, no matter wherever it is done, it is a setback to the whole global initiative, that is elimination of war, elimination of terrorism, no matter what. So what do you say about that, sir?
Yes, thanks for inviting me in your program once again. You know, it is not the enunciated policy of the democracies of the world. It's not as simple as it looks like. Deep down, the strategic objectives of nations that we and the powers that we are very different. You know for a fact that the world is redefining its power centers. In Syria, Russia made the difference to defeat the American ambition of overthrowing Bashar al-Assad.
Right.
And indeed, they have relentlessly bombed all the Khorasan area in Iraq and Kurdistan and in Syria, and in Libya they still is under tremendous turmoil. There are very few countries who are stable in the region, like Iran, and perhaps Turkey is also being affected. Southern portion of it, southeastern portion of Turkey is being affected by terrorism. What I think is that, the international equation relationship is based on the threat you pose, or the threat perception, or the economic relations that you have, or mutual interest that you have.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the Americans have decided that their strategic interest is perhaps to select India as a pivotal nation, and forget about whatever it is doing in Afghanistan and Pakistan. They have a tacit approval, and after they reach an agreement with India, I think India has upgunned their effort against Pakistan. Although Pakistan army is deployed in Tarbiya and Radul Fasad, it's an ongoing battle. But I think if the international community, I agree with you 100%, that if we can get to pressurize India through international community, that will die, that might result into our favor. But for now, if we want the West to listen to us, if we want the Indians to listen to us, they're not doing it.
Okay.
So our obvious choice would be to seek a balance of power from China, Russia, and Turkey, Iran. I think we have lagged behind in developing our relationship with Iran for a long time. We have common interests. We do not have too much of clash with that nation at all. Gone are the days when the sectarian equation was being fanned by them allegedly. But So were the Saudis busy here countering them. So I think we have been a victim of our lack of balance of policy so far, and so far as our foreign relations are concerned, and we have sacrificed the relationship with our big neighbor, Iran, over, Saudi Arabia's demand, etc. I think we should deal separately with both these countries. They're very important to us. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
But I think we need to have a balance in our strategic policy and direction. And we have to counter the American and Indian ambitions through making alliances and cooperation with other countries that already do that. You see, President Putin has visited three countries in one day: Syria, Egypt, and Turkey.
Okay.
And look at Sisi. He was the protege of United States. They brought him against President Morsi, who was elected by the people. And here he is walking into an alliance back to the Russians and, going the Russians, etc., and having agreement with them. And you see, the nations get their input from the institutions that keep on analyzing things. And Pakistan, I think, needs to sit down and redefine its goals, foreign policy goals and relationships. It is easy. The stage is set for us to seek the help from other power centers. I fully agree with you that if we make a reasonable alliance and take off to a better strategic direction, it will be good for Pakistan, because we have failed so far in our old approach of appeasing the Indians, the West, etc. They keep on blaming us no matter how good we are.
We keep on
telling them that we have done this, we have done that, we have done that. But they're not listening to us.
True.
Because they don't want to listen to us. It does not suit them to listen to us. So why go and visit a point of failure again and again and again and again? I agree with you.
Right, sir. We would have loved to ask you more questions for your wonderful and comprehensive analysis here, but we are running short of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Listeners, we were in conversation with our expert online brigadier retired Tipu Sultan, and we have come across some of very important points over here regarding our foreign policy imbalances, and how this is a kind of a situation which projects the issue of terrorism in the larger context. And unless and until we are able to roll up onto something really substantial and come up with revised and rejuvenated efforts in this regard, I think it would be really difficult to fight this war merely logistically or territorially.
International effort is required.
International effort, and the effort of narrative, as you mentioned, is also very important. We would be talking a little more, but after mid-hour news in our bulletin, in our program.
Mid-hour News Bulletin. Cabinet Committee on Energy has decided to amend existing policy framework to address issues relating to power tariff. Pakistan and Russia have agreed to enhance bilateral cooperation in diverse fields, including economy, energy, and defense. Defense Minister says defense ties between Pakistan and Saudi Arabia are getting stronger. Army Chief says Pakistan will continue extending support to the principled stance on Kashmir and Palestine, regardless of the so-called reality of occupation. Cuba has expressed deep concern over US decision to suspend visa processing at its embassy. And New Zealand won test series against West Indies by 2-0 in Hamilton today.
Well, listeners, that was Mid-Hour News, and it's time for break in our program.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Now you can download Radio Pakistan's app, Radio Pakistan Official, from Google Play on your Android cell phone to listen to live news, analysis, and your favorite programs and music. Download now and keep listening Radio Pakistan, the voice of the nation.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Perspective from News and Current Affairs Channel of Radio Pakistan Islamabad. I'm Zahra Sikandar, and the studio is my co-analyst and co-host, Mohammed Shiraz. We have talked about Pakistan's numerous sacrifices in the war against terrorism, and we have tried to touch upon the international context and the international narrative, which is very much necessary, especially vis-a-vis the kind of labeling which Islam has received through the hostile world, I would say, because no religion ever teaches any evil deeds or kind of killings or indiscriminate killings, as we have seen in the face of terrorism, and the way this thing has been labeled or attached with the Muslim world is a point of concern. And unless and until countries so massive and so powerful like Saudi Arabia and Iran would be able to come up with some lasting consensus and understanding, I think it would be a really tougher choice and would be a kind of a flashpoint for all those powers which need to exploit all these differences. So it's a high time. And here are the kind of some of the condolences which President Mamnoon Hussein, Prime Minister Shahid Hakan Abbasi, and Chief of Army Staff General Kamar Javed Bajwa have actually offered to the families who have received the martyrs courses over there. So the Prime Minister said, as a nation, we will never forget the greatest contribution of our valiant armed forces in war against enemies of our country. And if you see, Shirazab, here, it's very important the way General Kamar Javed Bajwa has actually come up with the words like, you know, the sons of the soil and the bravest hearts. It really shows the kind of, emotional or a kind of pride which he has taken as the chief of army staff for such wonderful forces, and he knows that yes, the whole nation is behind him, and the sacrifice of these people who get martyred in such incidents means a lot to the country. So it's a very winning situation, and I think it's very necessary as well, especially when we talk about the political turmoils or political upsets which occur normally in our country regarding various different issues and the kind of unrest we have, which we have suffered in previous weeks and days. It's also kind of an indication for all those people as well to understand the kind of a situation through which the country is going. And if we are not able to, shun our differences, which on many occasions we have seen that, yes, Pakistan Army, civil, political, governments, and, every institution of the country is united on this thing, that, yes, we are facing the war of terrorism and we need to get united. But political upheavals and, some kind of unrest in this fragile time is also a kind of a tipping point for the country, which is already faced with so much of the unrest and so much of the sad incidents which is gripping our country. So it's also important that we should pay heed. And it's an individual responsibility, in a way, to fight the narrative of extremism and terrorism which has been imposed on us, and somehow the naive people or the innocent people have been befooled into such kind of ideologies. Operation Radul Fasad achieved positive results. They say Operation Radul Fasad was launched to consolidate the gains made in the earlier operations and to undertake campaign de-weaponization. Now, Shirazab, I think de-weaponization is a kind of a thing which not only in terms of context of terrorism, but also in the context of individual capacities. We have seen, so many sad incidents right. Recent as yesterday. We have seen that, a man was killed by the firing in a wedding ceremony. So, and we have seen the kind of, the ratio of street crime even, and the kind of, vicious social crimes which we are seeing are somehow linked to this weaponization of the society. Country like Cuba, it boasts of zero weaponization in their society. And they're so free and they're so safe that they can even travel by 3 in the night so freely and so easily. So country like Pakistan, which is home to 95% Muslims, how do you see this thing that, weaponization has taken so much grip in our society, and especially in the context of terrorism and all those social evils? How do you see this? Do you think it's a far-fetched idea, or can we actually lead to de-weaponization?
Well, nothing is far-fetched, nothing is impossible if you are committed and determined, but we also have to keep intact the reality where we are situated. This region has been very volatile, and the kind of a neighborhood which we have shared. On the one hand, we have Afghanistan, while on the other, India, which is an arch enemy, and obviously these kind of geostrategic locations make your country, are in other words, leave very few options for your country, because of the fact that India, being a very huge country, is hostile on the one end, while there is another big country which you share a longest border in terms of area, I'm saying, Afghanistan.
Yes.
So it's destabilized. So I think unfortunately Pakistan has to make sure that its security apparatus is upgraded and up to the mark, and while doing that, in the way they have made obviously certain loose ends were left, which spread into the society, and because of those unattended policy measures or, in other words, contingency plans, this weaponization of the society took place on a very quick pace, and it has its own consequences, which we have been paying in the past many years, I would say.
Right.
But I think it's about time that since Pakistan has realized the fact that there is the only way forward is through the writ of the state, and the only way forward is through rule of law, and I think we have also came up with approaches such as a national action plan. So it is about time that we make sure that we implement these approaches in letter and spirit, because that is the only way forward. We have to once again coming to the point that we have to pay more heed to the war of narratives. That's the only way you can overcome this. So state has to assert itself, reassert itself. State has to make sure that it regains its position to define the things for the society, for the Pakistani society, rather than other segments of the Pakistani society allowed to independently decide what is right and wrong.
Right.
I think that is where it the grey areas lie. That is where the enemy will infiltrate and try to exploit the situation. So it's the responsibility and responsibility of not only one institution, it's the responsibility of the state. When I say state,
yes,
there
perfect.
Are four particular institutions which come under state. So I think wherever one is weak, the other should be there to support, rather than the other way around. So with this collaboration, then there is a solution. Then there is, I think, de-weaponization. Then there is end to this ideology of extremism and terrorism as well. That is the way forward, I would say.
True.
Otherwise, if you think unilaterally, I don't think so. In the 21st century, even United States of America, for that matter, have not been able to unilaterally do something.
True.
Recently, it has tried to declare Jerusalem, you know, as its capital, but the kind of resistance it is facing, it was not the case if it would have been done a couple of decades earlier, you know,
maybe last century.
Last century, in other words. So I think that is these are the lessons from very standard general lessons from the politics which is prevailing after 9/11. So we have to understand and pick from those lines, because after globalization, after the information era, I would say that the line, the differentiation, the distinction between domestic and international politics, I think it has reached
it's
to a
large,
level
yeah.
It is a very thin line remaining
exactly.
At the moment. So I think we can always implement and learn what is taking place at the international level.
True.
And also can exercise what we have exercised at the domestic level, because the domestic politics, I think, is becoming more important than the international politics. So in that regard,
mm-hmm.
It's important that an institutional balance of power is there within the country.
Then
in that way, we can not only promote nationalism and national unity, but we can also promote, you know, a cohesive strategy against ills of the society,
mm-hmm.
the unconventional issues, the issues such as human security, you know, which contains many things, where we have gender equality, where we have provision of basic needs to common people. So I think elimination of all this can lead to what you call one point, Pakistan, which is a progressive and an economic giant in the 21st century.
Right. So I think we have come up with two or three very important things over here, and these are interrelated and correlated, or these are the interplay of all these things collectively. Operation Radul Fasad, de-weaponization of the society, border management with Afghanistan, and not only the border management by fencing it, but also constructing new force and border posts to improve surveillance and defensibility. These are the need of our. We will talk a little more, but after the break in perspective.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs Channel presents in-depth insights into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Welcome back, listeners. We are back after a small break, and we have entered into the last quarter of our program, which is called Perspective. You're listening to this program with Zahra and Shiraz, and here we have talked upon some of very important things, Pakistan's sacrifices and the kind of measures which are already been taken and which need to be enforced with more energy and rejuvenation and consensus, drawing in the context, not from the bird-eye view to the larger context. So this all seems to be happening all the same time, but individual participation as a responsible civil, a person and a citizen, it's the need of the hour. World acknowledges Pakistan's sacrifices on the war on terror. At the same time, it's very important for highlighting why it's important that world is acknowledging Pakistan's sacrifices, because India, as the neighbor which is sitting and has been creating hurdles for our CPAC, a game-changer concept for this region and for Pakistan in particular, it seems to be very important to highlight the culprit and to also highlight the positivity which this project as CPAC, which is called as a game-changer, is going to bring to Pakistan. And there was a seminar on China-Pakistan Economic Corridor in Karachi today, and where it was stated that through CPAC, dream of producing cheap energy from third coal deposits is being materialized. On the other side, there is so much economic and infrastructure development in the country. Hassan Iqbal, the interim minister, said road and rail network is being laid across the country to connect Gwadar with China and other parts of the country, which will boost regional connectivity and generate economic activities. He said a modern fiber optical cable is also being laid, which will bring revolution in digital information system. And besides coal and hydro power projects, focus is also on tapping renewable energy potential of the country. So I think it's all encompassing a brief.
And Zahra, this is a very important point regarding the fiber optical cable, because
exactly.
At the moment Pakistan
True.
Is connected with the world
with
through
country.
One end, you know, while having another, another connection from the Chinese end will make its not only have multiple sound implications as far as the security is concerned, the economic security is concerned, and the economic and the social connectivity is concerned. Because if earlier on we have seen that there was an incident where these fiber optic cables which carry the data across the world were damaged, and it was the internet services in Pakistan were down for a couple of for a couple of days. I would say that another on the other end, this kind of option will further enhance and further secure Pakistan's connectivity to the world. And because of the fact that in the 21st century the business, the economy is more intertwined to these services than anything else, so I think after CPAC, we have seen how Pakistan has been working to modernize and to modify its not only economic infrastructure, the energy infrastructure, and also the developmental infrastructure. So I would say it's very important that such initiatives should continue not only in this tenure of the government, but also in the upcoming governments as well.
Right. So finally, we are joined by our expert online, Mr. Asman Yar Bantara. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So we are talking about economy and CPAC, the game changer for Pakistan and the fate changer. And this is that Hassan Iqbal, the interim minister, stated that rail and road network is being laid across the country. We have seen, Bandara said, that there is connectivity routes regarding the CPAC project. But now there is new addition of this road and rail network and also the laying of fiber optical cable. How do you see this development?
Well, to begin with, the CPAC project is not just about roads. It's about energy. As I've always said in my interviews, that 80% of the funding is gone for energy.
Right.
So, unfortunately, what we are hearing in the new French media is that unfounded speculations are being heard on that, and questioning its viability and questioning its success. So, I think this is not the case, and we had a very good meeting day before yesterday of CPAC.
Right.
And there are numerous projects which I'm forgetting right now, more than a dozen various energy, hydel, coal, and various other projects coming along the route. So I think CPAC is a success not only for the government, but also for the larger interest, which is Pakistan.
I think we have somehow not been able to get a better connection, so we would like to have our connection again with our expert, Svanyar Bandara, member Parliamentary Committee for CPAC, and a very important member of Pakistan Muslim League Namaz. And here we are talking about CPAC's achievements so far, which have been done and which more needs to be done. And over to you, Shiraz, on deliberating.
Yes, because I was earlier on highlighting the fact that this modern fiber optical cable or this connection to the global world, I think this is going to be very important because of the fact earlier on, talking about how Pakistan was dependent on this one connection,
yeah,
that goes underwater and then rest of the world. So in this way, Pakistan will be able to secure its economic connectivity lines and other security measures as well will be taken will be further enhanced and strengthened. This will translate it will definitely refresh the Pakistani infrastructure in all aspects of social, economic, and political life, and security, obviously. So I think it's very important that Pakistan should further, with the same determination as was talking about, not only this government, since it was initiated within this government, I think the upcoming government should also play a very central and important role, because we need to emphasize and we need to make sure that the work is done complete and it is operational within the right time frame, because in these kind of projects time and space are very central, are very detrimental in that regard. So I think the minister very rightly mentioned that CPAC is a game changer for Pakistan, while it being a fate changer for the region. So I think it is not just Pakistan that is benefiting from this project. Its implications, its positive implications, are beyond Pakistan, and for China, obviously, it is something which goes beyond the region. It becomes a global initiative, and as far as the ambitions are concerned, I would say the China-Pakistan collaboration has also, our bilateral relationship has also improved the period of time, because earlier on the collaboration between the two countries was solely based on what you call security issues. But now what we have seen that on the other frontiers such as economy, this collaboration has been improving and increasing, while now people-to-people contact, that is the social side of the bilateral relationship is also improving. Quite a number of people are here in Pakistan from China, and a significant number is also there in China as far as the Pakistani citizenship is concerned. So I think it's important that these collaborative and these economic measures, which have far-reaching implications beyond the region and for from grassroots level, in other words, we can say from roots to fruits. I think it's very important that the determination should be consistent, and it should be continued till it is fully operational. And then, once again, as I've mentioned it time and again, that this initiative is something which should be maintained as well, because true, gaining a milestone is easy, but to maintain that milestone is going to be something of great difficulty in that regard. So I think in the upcoming years, I'm optimistic that if the right choices are made and Pakistan is able to control the economic, political, and social situation within Pakistan, and the international community also plays a positive and progressive role for in the region in the with the assistance of the big countries of the region. I would say all the states which are trying to destabilize the region will come to senses, and they will be forced to come to senses, and they can also benefit from such a massive mega project such like this one, CPAC.
Right. I think it's a very comprehensive analysis, and I guess we were somehow missing on to some very important review of this important project and the kind of newness or innovations being added to this project. Everywhere around the world, we are seeing Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is working for his Neom city, and he has his global vision of 2030, and he is also working to rejuvenate his country as well. So so many economic prosperities are on the corner, and there is so much to be done when we come to environment, when we come to our social requirements or the needs, the changing needs of the growing population. So it's very important to welcome the project and understand the needs and understand the value of a human life individually and as a government position. So I think we are done for today's program, but how can we actually say goodbye to you without telling you the weather update and what's happening around the sports corner? Ashraf, Ashes series around the corner, England-Australia and third test from Thursday, and this match is going to be between England and Australia, which is going to commence in Perth on Thursday, and Australia lead the five test match series by 2-0. So any guesses?
It has always been a very nail-biting contest.
True,
such
true.
As we have exactly. In this region, you know, India, yeah, Pakistan. So
exactly.
And Australia is leading the match test match series. So
yeah.
And I think England needs to come back at least in the final test match to have some kind of face saving.
Yeah.
Yes, the weather, please.
So let's hope, let's believe things get better for cricket spectators and cricket fans. Well, listeners, as I can see, the kind of rain we are receiving in different parts of country, and if I'm not wrong, it's kind of a different measurements of different countries where it's raining. However, it's important that we should be telling you about directly the weather update over here, because they say a westerly wave is affecting upper parts of the country and may persist till Wednesday. That means we have one more day for rain to go, and all those people who love the rain can actually enjoy one more day for the rain, and it's going to be same for today. And the past 24 hours weather has been the same in Punjab, Kashmir, KP, Fateh and Gilgit Baltistan. We would have loved to tell you the temperature. So Kalat right now is -9°C, Quetta is -7, and Dilbadin is -5. So these are the lowest minimum temperatures across the country. And it's time that we should be telling you about the team which has helped broadcast this program. So very wonderful to you. The credits for today's program: sound engineer Zafar Masood Niasi, program coordinator Mudassir Hussain Rajput, program in charge Ahmed Kamal, and executive supervisor Javed Khan Jadoon.